Okay, so we're the Adelaide Plains poets, ready to talk about things again.
Writing things.
Writing things for our podcast.
Wonderful things, because COVID does not stop a writer.
No, of course not. It gives you more time to write, actually. Being a writer and having COVID things happening is not that bad a thing, really, as we're discovering. I'm Carolyn Corden, the president of Adelaide Plains Poets, and we have...
Jeanette.
And Michelle.
So, news.
Adelaide Plains news.
Okay, so unfortunately we've had to not cancel but postpone Gawler and Adelaide Plains
Festival of Words.
We have to postpone it. We're going to have come back and bigger and better than ever next year.
After a good rest. We've done five good years. Yeah.
But we did still have our Adelaide Plains poetry competition. And I've handed the entries on to both of the judges, and they're both going to judge what they have, and it would be wonderful.
I think it's wonderful that kids are still doing it, and yeah.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that Carolyn's been doing this for so many years. It's so much
fun. I like getting these free poems that arrive in the mail. It's just beautiful. New poems. Woo.
How many years has it been now, Carolyn?
Since, I think 2005 was the first, and that was Bush Poetry Competition. Mm. And the judge then was one of South Australia's foremost bush poets at the time. I enjoy it. Yeah. And you know, having kids writing poetry really inspires me.
Okay, so literary news. And because of COVID, there's not as much as normal. I have a few interesting pieces, anniversaries. So on the 16th of June was Bloom's Day, which is a Irish festival celebrating the work of James Joyce.
I think they still did a little something, didn't they?
Yes, they did do something in Ireland.
You can't stop the Irish, sure.
Yes. The 7th of June was 50 years of the anniversary of the death of E.M. Forster.
Oh, wow.
The 9th was the 150th anniversary of the death of Charles Dickens.
Oh, wow.
So that would have been a big event in Britain. The 29th was the anniversary of the burning down of the Globe Theatre in 1613, which I thought was interesting. And for some reason, there seemed to be a lot of birthdays in July. So the 1st of July is George Sand's birthday. She was born in 1864. The 2nd of July, anniversary of Ernest Hemingway's death. The 3rd of July, Franz Kafka was born. The 7th was Heinlein's birthday. The 9th, Mervyn Peake was born, and I have written the date for this, 1911. The 23rd, Raymond Chandler was born in 1888. On the 26th, George Bernard Shaw was born in 1856. On the 27th, Alexander Dumas was born in 1824. And the 31st, J.K. Rowling's birthday. So,
oh, she's got herself into a bit of trouble lately,
yes,
hasn't she?
She does tend to speak without thinking a lot.
Well, I think she... Yeah,
no, it was
really,
diplomatic.
No, not just not diplomatic, but alienating, and I must say, bitterly disappointing from someone who was always a fan of hers and really admired what she'd done.
But the person, the writer and their works are can be two different things.
Mm. I agree, but I just still think it's very disappointing because...
She's a role model for you.
Lack of understanding.
I agree, I think that's it. She's a role model. I mean, certainly, you know, as... I'm a teacher, and you're a teacher 24/7.
Yes.
You know, you're a policeman 24/7. Like, really, there are just some responsibilities, and I appreciate that, you know, yes, as a writer, you know, what differentiates the work. But I agree with you, Jeanette. Yes. She is a role model, and she's particularly a role model for younger people. And I just think her comments were unnecessary and uneducated and so alienating when really... an entire, I guess, group of children, a simple comment could have made a real difference in the positive sense.
Okay, other news. This month, there's a television adaptation of A Suitable Boy by Vikram Seth.
Yep.
Going to be shown in England, but I'm sure it'll become available here. I don't know through what format. There's so many now, I've lost track. And that is one of the books coming up in this list that we're looking at
fabulous.
Significant books under family and friendship. So I don't know what month we'll get to that category, but...
We will get there.
Yes, we will get there. Two literary awards in Britain, just announced in the last month, so been significant. Candace Carley Williams won Book of the Year for Creaney. And she was the first black woman to win that award ever.
That time.
And Bernardine Evaristo, author of Girl, Woman, Other, that won Booker Prize. She was one of the shared book winners of the Booker last year. Won Author of the Year, and she also was the first black woman to win that award.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
And a bit pertinent with the
and
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives certainly matter.
Definitely, yeah.
I think.
Anyway, we'll leave that as literary news for this month, so... move on to the
Life Writers discussion.
And that this month, we're still following on with the BBC list that we've been looking at all year. And this month's theme is politics, power and protest. Do you want to start, Michelle?
A Thousand Splendid Suns by Khaled Hosseini.
Brave New World, Aldous Huxley.
Home Fire, Camilla Shamsi.
Lord of the Flies, William Golding.
Noughts and Crosses, Marjorie Blackman.
Strumpet City, James Plunkett.
Oh, The Colour Purple, Alice Walker.
To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee.
Unless, Carol Shields.
And V for Vendetta, Alan Moore.
An interesting list this month. In fact, as I was saying earlier, the only title I'm not familiar with is the Carol Shields.
Which is one I'm very familiar with. So she's a quite a prolific Canadian writer, I think. I might have to Google that. Unless his most beautiful book. She does this beautiful thing where she captures the ordinary so exquisitely. You know, just people just getting on with their lives. And she's just has this amazing way about it. So I'm a huge fan, Carol Shields.
I can remember when my son was doing To Kill a Mockingbird at school. And I thought, have I read that? I thought I had a memory of having read it, but probably just heard about it a lot.
It's one of those books that you just don't forget. I reread it at school and, yeah, I really love it. It is a very memorable book. I'm not sure I could read it again. It hurt reading it. The injustice within it hurt. And I think that's often really hard. It's that injustice that's so hard to take. Colour Purple, I also read when I was really young and loved it. And Strumpet City, I may have read because there was a TV adaptation on ABC. It's Irish.
Right.
It's set in Dublin, I think.
And it was Carol Shields is Canadian. She passed away in 2003. Unless his most very interesting book.
Noughts and Crosses, Mallory Blackman. She wrote a script for Doctor Who last series, the one about Rosa Parks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was really good. Noughts and Crosses has also just been adapted for television and so it's on my to watch. I meant to watch it, but other things. Lord of the Flies is a book I will not read.
No, it's fabulous. It's really fabulous.
I object to the idea that... And it's really interesting that when those boys were found just recently, they were saying, well, this is the real Lord of the Flies. They cooperated. They worked together. Uh-huh. And they were stuck on a Pacific island. They stole a boat and ran away. And they were going to... I don't even know where they were going to go, but they got shipwrecked. And they ended up on an island. And they were stuck there for about 12 months. And they survived. They worked together. They were a bit hungry, but they were fine. And an Australian yacht moored found them.
But my question to you is this, Jeanette. Mm-hmm. If we only read books that we agreed on the premise of, we would not read very many books.
I know.
There's not many books. I studied it in high school. Mm-hmm. And it provided a lot of really hearty debate. And I remember saying I didn't believe... And we had this lovely male English teacher who also didn't believe that's how they would act, and the boys didn't. But it was wonderful in that it did really force you to analyse and look at, well, hang on a minute. Yeah. So that's what I guess I liked about it in high school. It was something that even though a lot of people were violently opposed to the premise, it forced people to really question.
I think what I object to is the way that right-wing thinking, political thinking, jumped on that as a justification for a me-only, selfish, oh, we've got to look after ourselves, everyone else is going to look after themselves. So it's been used. It is a very significant book. It absolutely should be on this list. But it's been used a lot to justify
a more natural thing
behavior.
If you go to nature, which we should go to nature, more natural thing is that we would help each other to get a better result for all. That's how societies grow.
It is.
That's what societies really are.
Yes.
And that book has got a very alien society that they're trying to push.
But then it would depend. I still think it would depend on the group you had, the culture you had,
the culture,
the socioeconomic background. What was the background of the boys? I mean, neurologically, more and more, it's demonstrating that it's easier to be aggressive than not, that we have to be taught to be kind sometimes, and that's fine. Like, I don't think there's any, you know, the whole premise of you need five positive comments to outdo one negative one. If we look at the neurology of it, it doesn't mean that humans are innately running around wanting to hurt each other.
But if you look at very young children, you look at very young children, and they'll be very kind to each other.
No, not really. No.
Very, very young will.
Not if they take something that they want.
Oh, and no, that's not really fight over a toy.
Yeah. But that's because their ego, that's an egocentricity. Mm. They don't have the capacity.
But they're too young to share.
Oh, they do. But which ones can they learn? They're taught. Yeah.
Not necessarily. They had an amazing concept of fairness that I would watch. You'd give them something and they would divide it out. And I thought, this isn't even, not something that I really taught them.
Yeah.
This is instinctive. There was an instinctive thing about sharing. They would automatically share. But, yeah, I think it's certainly an interesting book. I haven't read it, but I certainly know a lot about it. I've got opinions, and I hear about it a lot. So I think Lord of the Flies is definitely a significant book. But I think
it's actually well-written. I think that's something to you read a book and you kind of go, actually, the literature aspect of it. You know, sometimes I like a book because of the story, and I think, the actual writing didn't so grab good, me. Then other times I'll read a book and I'll go, oh, that was just so beautiful to read, but I might not necessarily.
Brave New World was a bit like that when I read it. At the time I disliked, and I think partly it was very alien to me at that age, but it just stayed with me. It was interesting, my friend Leonie, we had the same reaction to it at the time, and then we talked about it so much later, and we both went and found our copies, and it was like, no, I've never part. This is a book that we loved in retrospect, but not at the time we read it. And there's also a TV adaptation or film, I think it's TV, probably TV these days, coming out of that soon. It is a very interesting book and hugely influential as well.
Yeah.
And A Thousand Splendid Sons has gone straight on to my to-read list, reading about it. It's written by Khaled Hosseini, who wrote The Kite Runner, which I haven't read, but of course I've heard of him. But this is a female. So that focused on father-son relationship.
Yeah.
This is more mother-daughter.
Oh, gorgeous.
The female relationship growing
up. It's on my bookshelf. A Thousand Splendid Sons. My mum's read it and absolutely loved it. So,
And it's in Afghanistan, which is one of those countries that really interests me. I don't know, some places fascinate me more than others. And as soon as I saw it set in Afghanistan, I was like, oh, I really want to read that.
I agree with you.
So that's this month.
Colour Purple.
Yes, The Colour Purple.
That was actually a really good movie adaptation.
It was.
Very unusual that it is such a good movie adaptation. Mm. Very interesting.
Especially from the time.
Yeah.
And it was quite radical at the time because there weren't many films written from the perspective of a black person. It wasn't about slavery. You know, it was about racism. But it was a great film.
It was a
book. I enjoyed the book. Well, I read the book when the film came out. So.
Oh, God.
So that's how long ago that was. That
I couldn't remember it. I've read so many books since then.
It's some books you remember more than others,
though. You do, though, don't you?
And I would say that both Brave New World, Colour Purple, and definitely To Kill a Mockingbird, I read that at school. That's a book that you never forget. Okay, so what have we got next?
Writing, publishing.
Colin?
I'm thinking about Pam, perhaps. When you have a new book, you're trying to get your first book published and you want it to be exactly right, then be prepared to do the work to make it the very, very best you can, because you want this book, your first book, to be something you can really be proud of and have good reasons to be proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the details, the nitty-gritty details, as good as you possibly can, knowing that no matter what, there will be some things that there are errors, because, we're human, we're not machines. And just to see Pam being so excited about her new book, and it just makes me so happy that I was a part of a very small part of that new book coming.
Well done.
And celebrate other people's new books. Don't just be greedy and celebrate your own, but celebrate other people with their writing, because we're all writers together.
And I think the tip as well is join a writing group.
For sure, yes.
Really, join a writing group, even if people's writing is different to your own.
Well, that's,
I think, being with a like-minded group of people who have the same interest as you can really encourage you to keep honing your own craft. Well done to Pam. That was absolutely so exciting.
It's her
so
first wonderful. Book. And it's just, and I'm jealous because she's a really good illustrator as well. And wish.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to the word of the day, and it's cumber, which is kind of how I feel right now. That which causes trouble, the condition of being encumbered.
Encumbered.
Yeah.
What are you encumbered by?
So that's where the word encumbered comes from, the word cumber.
Cumber.
And we're going to skip over reading of own works this week because none of us have got anything to read.
Well, we've got plenty, but nothing that anyone would particularly want to hear.
Nothing really, so.
It's all in the middle of
stuff. I was glad that we had surprise our word today. because I wrote something that I quite enjoy, and it goes back to my cozy murder mystery series. And I thought, yeah, that's cool. I don't know where it's going to go, but I've written it because I have been stepped away from that doing my other things, which is something quite different.
So our listeners' challenge could be writing groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Join one.
Yes.
Yes,
and if you
join ours.
Join anyone. And if you want to join ours, that'd be wonderful. And even if you're in one, you can be involved in more than one.
Yes.
Some of our group members are involved in more than one writing group. And book clubs are also good because, hey, books and things.
Yes. I'm involved in a book club.
Of course you are. And I'm jealous because I'd really like you to do my book sometime, but I have to write my book first, don't I? I have books. I've never been in a book club before. Never been in one.
Fun. I love it.
So that'll be it for now then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. See you next month.
Till next month.